Our Heavenly Father, we come to You again this day. We thank You for the Word of God that we have to open for preserving it for our day. Thank You, Lord, that we can come to the house of God and worship You. And, dear Lord, we thank You this morning for the Sunday school hour. This Word has been taught. Now we come to this time. And, dear Lord, we leave this place. We pray something would happen in our hearts and our lives to make us see where You'd have us be doing, and also be acted, occupy until Jesus comes. And Lord, I pray somehow or another this day that our minds would be alert, our hearts would be open, and God would have His way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 21 with me, please. Genesis chapter 21. I want to read verse 33. Verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord. Watch the next three words. Called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Now, this word everlasting God is used to express the eternal duration of the being of God. When we talk about Jehovah God, we're not talking about, like most religions do, a God made up in someone's mind. We're talking about a God who has revealed Himself to you and I by His Spirit through His precious Word. And so here He talks about the everlasting God. Call there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. In Psalms chapter 90, if you turn there with me, Psalms chapter 90, and about verse 2, we see again, as the psalmist said, this is a prayer of Moses at this time. He said, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Now, may I remind you again, he says, before the mountains are brought forth, had to do with the creation, he said, and ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Watch, thou art God. Showing again the endless duration of this God that the Bible is manifesting Himself about. If you look, we begin in Acts chapter 17. Read another verse, then I'll give you the topic of the message. In Acts chapter 17, we see the Apostle Paul addressing people at Athens on Mars Hill. And in verse 28, after he went through this dialogue about the unknown God they were following and the religious system of their particular day, verse 28 said, for in Him, who is this in Him, in this God that Paul is presenting to these people, in Him we live, in Him we move. And I can use that preposition because that's what he's talking about. In Him we have our beings, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Now, this offspring is not offspring in the sense of a new birth, because all the human race is not offspring of God in the sense of new birth, but they are in the sense of creation. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the creation of God's hands, on to recognize that God who speaks, God who forms and creates, is the everlasting God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. You go back as far in the past you want to go, and you'll find He had no beginning. And you go as far in the future that He can take us, and you'll find out that thousands of beings, aeons of years, He'll still be there. He existed from everlasting to everlasting. Now, you and I know that. Then why is it today we have so many people who literally are doing and saying things about God that's far from being true? Why is it that we see many religious groups presenting a God that's far from being a true biblical God? My title this morning is simple this. Many are writing their own biography of God rather than letting God, who has written His autobiography, explain Himself. We have to understand that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting, this book, how precious it is. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. That is, if you have wisdom, he said, therefore get wisdom. You see, there's a tendency to feel that God has given all this book just for the purpose. Some not even believe that he's the God, but those who do, he give this book for the purpose of us to receive Christ as Savior, and that's all there is to it. No, that's the experience we have by believing what God says about the gospel. But there's more to it than that. God is saying that we can have the experience and yet not have the knowledge that God has given us and the wisdom about who he is. There are some people who think that Jesus Christ is just a ticket out of hell and not a ticket to serve God. But I'll tell you this, there's more responsibility on the child of God than most people think there is when it comes. And Brother Farrell hit that great this morning. By the way, that was a great lesson, my brother, this morning in the Sunday school class. And I'll tell you, we got an idea that we've been not conformed to the image of Christ that this book's supposed to do, but somehow or another our imagination has been changed about God as not being who he really is. And it's very easy to gradually move in a direction away from him if we're not careful, you see. So the principal thing about life is that God loves enough that Christ died for us. But I want you to know at the same time, when he gives us instructions in this book, there's a whole lot more about how we should be living than it is how to get saved. Now, you got to get saved to understand how to live. But we must understand there's much about living as much as so is about getting saved. So many are writing their own biography of God. Psalms again, 90 verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, there's a lot of people who would tell you that their God is the real God. But it's not the God of the Bible. What makes the difference, ladies and gentlemen? Because you can look at any other God that one has and he becomes a tyrant rather than a loving God. A tyrant in the sense that people are so afraid of him. Why? Because they have no relationship with him like God the Father has with you and I and the world. You say, well, in the Old Testament, he didn't have that relationship. I know, because sin settled in and God took time to bring it about for his son to come into this world. But even back in the Old Testament, God was showing his love by prophesying that his son would come. He was showing that he loved this world, and somewhere down in the future, Jesus Christ would come and die that man may have life. And now we live on this side of Calvary looking back. Hey, he did come and die that we might have life. So I say to you this morning that we should begin to look at what God is saying and listen to him. And many of us in here have by trusting him as Savior, but there's more to it than that. And if you hadn't trusted Christ as your Savior, you should this morning. Many are writing their own biographies of God rather than, that is simply, Webster's definition for a biography of someone is a written account of a person's life. They study someone's life and then they write about that person as accurate as they can. A biography is based on research that one does regarding one's life. But when you write a biography of God, if you don't listen to the autobiography that God's already written, you're going to write about the wrong God. It's going to come up in your mind. And that's what's happening today. People hate the Word of God as it was at one time, so they're rewriting it. Why? Because the biography they're writing of God's autobiography has been changed. That God who wrote his autobiography through the men that he moved down through the ages to write, now you can't understand who the real God is because it's been changed. People are writing biographies of God and changing what God himself said in many places about things. And they do it intellectually. They do it because we're so educated and we're talking about words. And again, this word means that and this word means that. And suddenly context don't mean a thing. It's depending on which way a person wants to go to push something that they want to believe. And they take it out of context, swinging it over a bunch of people's mind and a population of the world because Satan is so powerful. Go with them rather than listen to the true and living God. Now, we already have God's autobiography. The Bible is God's written account about himself. Today, many are rewriting what they think God is. Our biography about God should come from God's autobiography. Everything we learn about God should come from what he's already written. If not, it'll be the wrong aspect about who the true and living God is. And so, I have to understand this book is precious to me, more so now than it was 49 years ago when I got saved. He is alive. And he is well. And he can be known. Why? because of His love. In the Old Testament, people could not have that close relationship. Even Israel had to obey God. And God spoke through the prophets and through Moses and men He raised up. And they had to listen to what He had to say. But in the age of grace, every child of God has the Holy Spirit living in them. And therefore the Bible that He has written Himself can be hid in our heart as the Spirit of God reveals it to you and I. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a relationship with God. A wonderful, blessed relationship as sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a sign of God's love for us. That's a sign that He cares for us in this particular life. The Bible declares the eternal existence of God. He's alive and He can be known because of His love. We see God's love through Jesus Christ. Now listen, hear me. This world cannot see God's love if they deny Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ is the epitome of God's love. It's everything that God is because God is showing even when man deserved His wrath, He loved him enough that He sent His Son that he might have eternal life. The Bible declares that God is a God of love. And we see God's love through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16-17. Read it. We know it, but read it again. Many read the Bible as true stories of the past, but do not let But not as a living word of God for today. People literally do not want God to be any more than what they want to make Him to be. And you have all these religions coming that always have to do something with the flesh that makes God what they want to make Him to be. I think about some things this week I've cut out. It is nothing uncommon, ladies and gentlemen. We're hearing this phrase now, not only in the ranks of people, and many times on the media, this is what they say. Today, people are saying, and it's not only that, but into the political realm has been said in places. But you hear it in the lower ranks. I've heard it a number of times in this campaign in the last 15 years. Amen. This politician going on for about 15 years now, it seems like. You must not know what's going on. Amen. But the thing about it is, they say this. We are no longer, talking about America, we are no longer a Christian nation. We are a nation. Whereas of Christians and Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and etc. Now grant you, the door is open for religious system. But this nation was once known for hundreds of years as a Christian nation. Why? Because those who came brought Christ in their hearts and minds to win others to the Lord. And now we have this amazing thing that where you get on the scene and you got a lot of folks believing, well, we used to be a Christian nation, we're not now. That may be true. We may not be as Christians as we should be, but that doesn't mean that this nation didn't start out as a Christian nation. You say, well, there's a lot of folks that in headlines years ago, 200 years ago, may not have been a Christian, but they recognize the God of this Bible. I'll tell you that. If you don't believe it, go back and look. In the early days, what did they do? They talked about Jesus Christ. What did they do? They began to make the Constitution center around the God of this Bible. What did they do? They took the Ten Commandments of this Bible and put them in the courthouses and the legislation place in this world. What did they do? They were not afraid to put something about God who is the God of Christianity. But ladies and gentlemen, just as sure as this world and our people in our nation began to move God to the side and began to put other religions in their place instead of the true and living God, God will do to this nation what He did to Israel. He's no respect to person. And you eliminate Him and He'll eliminate you. You say, well, I don't believe in that God. Then you're not right with the right God then. But I'll tell you, this book will tell you, read the history of this book. Read it over and over. Brother Harold said, read this book over and over and over again. And you'll find out how God reveals Himself in His autobiography. So I think about things. I got an article here that came out of it back in October this month of a writing. And it says, and it's about Oprah Winfrey. I'm not, she certainly, it said Oprah Winfrey mocks the Christian faith, proclaiming that God is a feeling experience. He's not a believing experience. She said, if God for you is still about belief, then it is not a true living God. Where is that from? She's getting that from a feller by the name that is called Eckhart Tolle. He is a guru. It's a, that is a that is a pathological New Age guru in our day. And he says this. He in turn relies on a spirit force he calls the Source, which he says resides within him. Oprah and other those who believe in Oprah does. Tolle's Source tells him and those that follow the word him that the word of God or the Bible cannot be trusted. That there is no death. That ought to be a lot. You want, people want to see that right now. Just go by and look at the hearses that go up and down the road. But they still say there's no death. And that he and these people both are as God, able to say of themselves, I am that I am. These things that the Source has told these people are the same thing that they said back in ancient time. By the way, you can go to www.sovereignlight.com/blog. That's how it goes somehow or another. To see those things at that time. It also says the Source has told them that the Word of God of the Bible is not reliable. That there, again, is no death. And both these people say to themselves, I am that I am. The same term that God used when he told Moses to go down into Egypt. Here's another one, Joe Hensfield. Most people know him for the fact that he written 350 songs, many of which become gospel music classes. In his book, 2007, to God be the glory. Exalting the Bible view of God, he says clearly he denies the deity of Christ. He writes the focus, and I quote, the focus of my book isn't that Jesus is not, but rather who God the Father is. God is immortal. Jesus was not. He's talking about him being immortal. He was a perfect sinless man. Yes, he agrees, but man nevertheless. A God man could not redeem us. He is the second Adam, not the first God-man. The incarnation is taught by modern Christianity. He says it's a fable. Now, he's writing his own biography, not following God's autobiography. Amen! He's fighting something that is not, that is his own mind. And you know why we sit and listen? Because we don't know enough about the Scriptures to counteract it. We don't know enough, and we're afraid to say something about it in these last days because somebody may get upset. I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a time that's beyond... It's beyond any time. I can understand a little bit how Jesus felt in his particular day when you stand for that which is truth. People today do not want God to be any more than what they make of him. And by the way, that's just a small crust. There's many articles written now where people are denying the true and living God. They're denying Christ. They're belittling Christ, making him every... Used to you had a few things that people said that he was just son of... born out of wedlock. It's not even that now. It's worse than that about the Lord Jesus Christ. People fail to realize that God is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. A biography of God can accomplish three things in life if it's from the autobiography. If we're going to write any type of biography, we need to be sure it comes from the auto. This is where we should get our information to form it in our mind to understand what God is telling us to do. Let me give you three quick things. About many are writing their own biography of God. The first one is simply this. As we look at God's autobiography, we learn what God is like. He describes to us what he's like. Well, what you say is like, what I feel is like is not the same. Well, I'm glad I don't just feel it. I try to learn it from God's word. You know, feeling something can be wrong if you're not careful. Sometimes this God that the Christian loves, serves, and worships seem to be at a distance from us. Sometimes it seems, for whatever reason, that we can't get as close sometimes with life, or maybe at a distance from us. Even reading the Bible sometimes doesn't make us feel close to him because he is God. And here's the thing. Anything that I need to know in that relationship about getting close to him, if I don't know it, then I can't get close to him just because I have it in my mind to do it. God has set the preference. He's set the standard. He's set the walls. He's set the direction. He's told us how it is that we get to him. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me. From a heart that bleeds for your concern, and many who listen to this message in a few minutes, without Jesus Christ, you have no access to God. Well, preacher, that's too dogmatic. That's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When I see this, I began to understand that God's goal is not to give us a warm feeling, but to establish with us a good relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Now, I thank God for the feeling, but I'll tell you this. Brother Cooper said one time a few years ago, he'd been to ball game, felt the same thing some people felt at church. Well, I'll tell you, one thing is for sure, I have too. But the feeling itself should not override the Word. Now, when the Word blesses a heart, and you feel the presence of God, what a wonderful thing. But if you feel something without the Word, then it's a generated false pseudo thing that's given by Satan. The Bible instructs just how God works in our daily lives. Through this book, God's autobiography, the Holy Bible, God reveals to us about Himself. He reveals Himself to us through His precious Word. He reveals Himself through us through His names that's given out, through His attributes and through His character. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 9, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Don't tell me He's not God incarnated in the flesh. Jesus said also in John 10, 30, I and my Father are one. Ladies and gentlemen, He's not lying. He was the perfect man, yes, but He's also the God-man. And this writer said, well, being a God-man, He couldn't save us from our sin. Being a God-man, yes, He could, and He did, for those who trust Him as our personal Savior. Again, in Psalms 23, verse 1, He says, the Lord is my shepherd. In that psalm, we see His protection. He provides for us. He guides us. He chastens us. He deals with us as a father to a son. This personal protection by God shows us that He loves us. His relationship. It isn't a God, a child of God that God rushes His wrath to. No. It is tempered by love. And that which is wrath to the unsaved is tempered by love, which is chastened by the loving Father. And He says, hey, if you are not chastened, then you're bastards. You're not sons of God. But if you are, God chastens us. Why? Because He loves us. And He loves us so much in this particular life. And this gives us and gives to me and to you an autobiography of God. As I study His Word, I'm seeing what God is literally saying as I study His Word. Let me ask you, have you opened the pages of this book this week to study rather than read? Have you done that? I don't need to know, but God knows. Then how can I ever expect to know what God is saying if I don't listen, because if I don't go to His Word? See, when I read His Word, I read His autobiography. When I'm hearing it taught, God said, preach it. If it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I can hear it right. But everything I hear that I'm not reading, I better check up on it. Because it's coming through a source that say, I said from the autobiography of God, but it's coming from His autobiography. But how do you know unless you know what the autobiography says? And that's so important in life. So, number one, we learn what God thinks. Number two, we think about God's autobiography. We learn how we are unlike God. Someone say, I am as I am. Hey, if you look at God's autobiography, you'll find out when you begin to see this thing of what God's like, you begin to see how unlike God we are in this life. Instead of saying, I am as I am, trying to be something like God, you come like a poor sinner does and smote himself on the breast and say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us with the Word. The reason people don't want the Word preached nowadays is because singing, you don't get conviction. Preaching, you do. Amen. It's important for us to understand. We learn how unlike God we are. Studying about God shows us how we fall short of being like God. He's holy. Hear me. He's holy all the time. Do you hear me? He's holy all the time. We're not. He's loving all the time. We're not. Sometimes we're selfish. God is good all the time. He's merciful all the time. He's kind and forgiving all the time. We fall short of His divine standard, but He never falls short of His own standard Himself. We learn how we are unlike God. His autobiography makes us see what we have, that we have needed errors in our life. We are not God like all the time. That is, we're not in line, secret, nice with Him completely all the time. There are times that the flesh comes up until God gets us out of the flesh. We are not God like all the time. But I'm so glad to understand in God's autobiography that God encourages us all the time. He loves us all the time. He said He'd never leave us, forsake us all the time. He's always there ready to assist us. Sometimes there's a criteria we have to meet for us to feel His presence and His encouragement. But He's there ready to give it to us all the time. As I see in Romans chapter 8 again, those wonderful words that we read so many times, and I won't read them all at this time, but in Romans chapter 8, when Paul was talking about this same thing, about encouragement, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, many things? He goes on and said, they were counted sheep for the slaughter. All these things were more than conquerors through Him. Through who? Jesus Christ. Someone said, well, I'm conquered through God. I'm afraid you missed it. I'm afraid you missed it. In the age of grace, he said, we conquer these things through Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. You know why we can conquer those things? Because He is a man conquering them for us and showed us who He had the power that He's given us available, that we can do the same thing. We can do the same thing. Then he said, I'm persuaded. I love that. I love things that you can be persuaded of. He says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities and other things go through height or depth. He said, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And we know that is our Lord. See, we are a work in process. You know, this Bible is also information of God's autobiography about that work in process. He gives us what we need for an experience. But once you experience salvation, there's more to it than that. A lot of folks experience salvation don't even understand from the beginning in wisdom what took place the day you got saved. And I guarantee you didn't understand the day you got saved. You didn't fully understand it. You may not fully understand it now. It may not. But I'll tell you, if you've got in the book, you'll find out you understand a lot better than you did the day you got saved. Aren't you glad you don't have to understand the experience of salvation in detail to be saved? Thank God you can learn it. You can trust Christ as Savior, and then He will give. And that gives you assurance when He gives you that information at that particular time. And as we begin to fall short, God encourages us. We are a work in process. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. Our biography of God from His autobiography produces hope as well as conviction in our lives. Some people say, well, you Christians just too narrow, too boastful. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know a born-again Christian anywhere boasts in himself. I don't know. When a person gets up, he always gives Christ. You see, they miss that. All they hear is talking about, yes, praise God, I'm saved. They miss what you say about Jesus. Why? They don't care. There's not a person who ever gets up and even says any one thing about their salvation without giving and exalting Jesus Christ. Amen. And saying how much they think of Him and love Him and because of His love towards them. So, here again, we talk about writing their own biography. We learn from God's autobiography what God is like. We learn about how we are unlike God. And the third thing, God helps us to learn to think like He thinks. Not a lot of that going on because you don't know. You can't do it unless you know. And even then, we have some blind spots in life, but He's talking about here. God helps us to learn to think like He thinks. Deuteronomy 29:29, He said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. In other words, there is more, please hear this, there is more about God that we do not know than what we do know. There's more about God than this book. Did you know that? God is much greater than this book. There's more information about God than this book. This is the only thing we needed in this particular life. God's Word makes it possible to know how God thinks. God makes Himself known through the Scriptures. Thou shalt not. Thus saith the Lord. God gives us insight as to what God thinks. Read it and you have the mind of God. He gives understanding in context. You begin, any time that I study this book and I begin to lift something out of its context, God leaves that. He don't leave me personally, but He just leaves for me understanding. He is not going to spend time trying to get me to understand something when I'm taking it completely out of context. And neither will He anyone else, you see. Here we see some great things about Him. God Almighty makes it possible to know how He thinks. God makes Himself known through the Scriptures. Here we see He gives us insight as to what God thinks. Here we see His wisdom. Here we see His compassion. Here we see these things that He deals with in this life. Injustice, how He deals with people. All these are revealed in God's holy Word. To know how God thinks teaches us how we should think about life. How we should think about others. How we should think about circumstances. How we should think about God. Seeing our biography of God from His autobiography helps us to see God and helps us to evaluate life from a godly vantage point. And many times we find, ladies and gentlemen, let me say something. If you're reading religious material more than you're reading the Bible, you might be reading somebody's biography of God. That's not God's autobiography. You need to read God's autobiography to back up anything you're reading someone else said. You say they didn't write a biography. I know that. Most of them are written as books on subject. But I'm saying, anytime a person writes about someone else, getting research to write about, that's a biography. So any book, I've written 3 books in some degree about some subject. When God is in there, I've tried to say something about what I thought the Bible said about God. But everything that you use can't come from my mind and imagination. Can't come from the mythical thinking that I have. It has to come from thus saith the Lord. Then if I say thus saith the Lord somewhere inside of context, then God will deal with me about that. And that scares me, even not only now, but in eternity. Man can choose to dishonor God. He can choose to disregard Him. But in the end, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11 says He'll bow and He'll confess that Jesus, hear me, that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. See, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, everyone who ends up in the end, who doesn't confess that Jesus Christ, who He is, they will bow when it's too late. You see, if you can't trust Him by faith now, which is a channel to see into that world, then when you see Him as He really is by sight, it's too late. Too late. God is building a kingdom now, which is a kingdom of faith. He will bow. Disrespect for God causes a disrespect for everybody else. Anytime there's disrespect shown in the world for God, mark it down, there'll be disrespect for everybody else that one faces. We should let God's autobiography, which is the Holy Bible I have before me and you have in your hands, we should let it become our source book about God. Many are rewriting their biography of God today, and it's been selling, I mean selling, top book millions of dollars. It's become when Satan gets someone to think he wants money, we know this world is full of greed now. You've seen that lately. The only thing you can see what it'll make, you don't care what you write, as long as you think it's not going to be, the law is going to get on you or something. And so things are being written to sell rather than for truth. Now, I want to say something. Because I believe this book is God's autobiography. I believe God inspired this book. I believe He used these men that wrote it down through the years to whereas there's a line of truth through it that connects every one of the books from Genesis to Revelation together. And now we come up to this time. We talk about what's going to happen in this particular election. I'm going to give you, this book gives us some predictions that's going to take place. I don't care who gets into office. This word's going to give some predictions of the future, and they will stand. I don't care who gets in office. You try to destroy it or not, or whatever. And these are those things. I believe it all in my heart. This Bible will still be the Word of God. I don't care who gets in political office. I want you to know also, the Bible will have the answers for man's problems. I want you to know the Bible tells us that prayer still works. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit still moves people and directs people that are not changed. I want you to know that God will inhabit His people still, no matter who gets in office. God's going to live in His people. And He wants us to let us be what we need to be. Some of us may have to go to jail, like Paul Bunyan and others did years ago as time goes on. If God don't come back for the church, I guarantee you, we who are at my age may not, because you can't never tell. But some of the young ones, if by chance God can touch a young person's heart and will stand for truth, I mean stand on the grounds and principle of this book, they're not going to have it as easy as we're having it. And we're having it harder than some of the people had it 20, 30, 50 years ago. It's coming just a few days from now. If we're not careful, you won't be able to preach the sins of this book without calling hate crime. When you begin, you can't preach this book. You can't preach Calvary. You can't preach the Word of God without telling people that there are biblical sins that will damn their soul unless the blood of Jesus Christ washes them. I don't care. I tell you, there's prediction. No matter who wins for the future, there will still be a God-anointing preacher until Jesus Christ comes. There will still be singing the praises unto God from the hearts of people. You be like me, have to be like Paul and Silas. Sing it down in jail, but you can still sing. Amen? Amen. Amen. And God may shake some doors open. There will still be a pouring out of blessing upon God's people. Hey, I don't care who gets in office. There'll still be room at the cross for those who come and trust Christ as Savior. I want you to know there'll still be a love in Jesus' heart for this world. Jesus will still have saved the lost that have come to Him and cry out, have mercy upon me. And I receive you and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead. They shall be saved, God says. And that'll not change until Jesus comes. Hitler can't change it. Castro can't change it. Rome couldn't change it. Pilate couldn't change it. There's no man on earth can change it. Because that's set. And there's people who will trust the Lord until He gets us out of here. And by the way, even the tribulation period, we won't see nothing in this life what they're going to see who trust the message of God during that 7-year period. And I say to you, these 10 predictions will still be enforced no matter who wins the election. Many are writing their biography of God. All I ask you to do is today. There's people right now will tell you that Jesus Christ is not the way of life. You're hearing it more and more. Most of the media you see will not. Hey, if someone get up and say anything about Christ, they'll bring 10 other people around and deny Him. And we think because the majority, they must not make nothing to it. Folks, God's going to test His church. And He's going to show those who are genuine and those who are not. We're at the threshold of that right now. You're going to see those who are studying the Scriptures who really understand what God is doing. Because the world's going to call you, once you take a stand, the world's going to call you a rebel-rouser, hatred, commit hate crimes, can't get along with nobody. These are the things that's going to happen. And yet we stand here before you and let you know, if you're not saved here this morning, Jesus Christ loved you. He died for you. He's the only way you'll ever get to heaven. He's the only way that you'll get. That's the only way you can have a relationship with God. I know that don't sound good to the flesh because we think, hey, I can have a relationship with anybody I want to. Not with God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know anything that's in this world, without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. There is no other name given among men under heaven, Acts 4 tells us. I think verse 12. Than that of Jesus Christ. Without Him, there is no hope, Paul says in Ephesians 2. There's no way in this world that we can present the true and living God that created all this we look into space and see and leave Jesus Christ out in the age of grace. Now, before Jesus came, they didn't know who it would be. But we have no excuse. If you don't believe that, read Romans 8. Read Romans chapter 1 and see what he says. He says, they are inexcusable. There is no excuse. My Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the study of this day. Dear Father, I believe with all my heart there were times years ago before America was ever established, there were men who stood and preached this book. And therefore, we read Fox's Book of Martyrs now one every Wednesday night. And we see literally from the very first century right on up to our day, there have been many who have literally been slaughtered, burned to the stake, simply because they will not, can't change their mind about Jesus Christ. Dear Father, anyone can look and see. When Jesus came upon the scene years ago, everything was so religious, everything so organized, everything was so going like the leaders had led the people to go. And when Jesus came, began to say, hey, you made my house, God's house, Father's house, a house of a den of thieves. You're making their sacrifices, not mean what they meant, what they were supposed to mean. You began to set things straight. Less than 3.5 years, Lord, your preaching here on this earth brought a hatred to people's heart that they could have a leader here and there to rouse them up and in so doing, crucify the Son of God. Now, God knew that. We understand that, Lord. We know you knew the beginning from the end, but you didn't make those people do it. They did it because of the evil of their heart. And our Father, same as our nation. How in the name of heaven can we study the history of our nation and not see God in it? Now we're coming to the place that he's been pushed aside and other gods have been instigated. And dear Father, when that happens and your voice is heard but not heard, people listen or hear but don't listen carefully. And next thing we begin to say, well, you know, maybe one God is as good as another. Our Father, we know that our nation was raised up for the purpose that people could worship like they wanted to worship. But in the beginning, there was a monopoly of worshiping God through the Scriptures and through Jesus Christ. We're not saying these people can't come here. Lord, thank God that we live in a country that the world wants to come and live in. But we're saying that when they come and they change the God who made us who we are, begin to worship other gods who's not the God of the Scriptures, then God himself will step in. And he will. He will. He has in the past. And he will now. When the voice of God is silenced through his people, through his church, through his method, then he will step in himself. We're going to soon hear the voice of the archangel. We're going to soon hear the trumpet sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. And we which are alive are going to change and meet our Lord into the air. But until that day comes, please help us, Lord. Please help us be the voice. Not our voice. But the voice that comes through your autobiography, as we study it, you hide it in our heart, and we present Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. We ask this in your name. Amen.